leads our communion service, and it promises to be an awesome time in God's presence. Amen. As our custom is, you are being passed the communion. English has failed. The communion, what they call tokens, are being passed around, is to help us save some time. Praise the Lord. Is to help us save time. So please, you hold it. When it's time, we will take together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you've been following us in this series, we said this month we're going to be talking money. Amen. And God has shown us things that I never thought we'll be going through. Praise the Lord. I want you to pray this morning, because I'm about to share certain things with you that if your understanding is not enlightened, you might not be able to grasp. The Bible says the things which we preach, the natural man cannot receive them because they are discerned in the Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit to communicate them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So can you ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you? Can you ask the Holy Spirit to minister to you? Ask the Holy Spirit to open your understanding. To give you ears that hear beyond the physical. Hearts that perceive into the realm of the Spirit. Go ahead and talk to him. Ask for spiritual enlightenment. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, this morning anoint my lips of clay. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Enable me to speak your word with simplicity and clarity in such a way that is comprehensible, understandable to everyone under the sound of my voice. Like we prayed earlier, Lord, I ask that you will give us ears that hear beyond the physical. Ears to hear beyond what is being said on the surface. Hearts that can perceive the voice of the Spirit. Lord, whatever we have believed in time past that do not conform to your written word, help us to put those things aside. Whatever has constituted a stronghold in our lives, help us to put them down that we may be able to receive the truth of your word this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And the people of God say, amen. You may please be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, I'm going to speak to you on what I've titled Blood and Money. Clap now. Or should I have said blood money? Okay, I should say blood money. Now, don't spoil. Amen. Okay, blood money. Praise the Lord. Whether blood and money or blood money, I'm sure we'll get to the same place. Glory to God in the highest. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. If you were not with us on Wednesday, I will encourage that you please take time and listen to that message. It's on Facebook before Facebook will delete it. Amen. You know, Facebook, I think after about 3 weeks, live stream is removed. That's the new policy. So you had better act quickly. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. Amen. Amen. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty, or like some people say, poverty, might become rich. So whether you call it poverty or poverty, we are saying the same thing. Praise the Lord. Lift up your hand and say with me, Jesus became poor, not that I might taste poverty, but I, through the poverty he suffered, might become rich. Amen. Now, I would like to begin by saying that your prosperity as a child of God is an integral part of your redemption. Am I communicating? No, you're not looking like I'm communicating. If I'm communicating, say, I hear you. Amen. Your prosperity as a child of God is what? An integral part of your redemption. Praise the Lord. Now, this is what I mean. First of all, let's look at the word integral. Okay? When you say something is integral, it means it is necessary to make whole or complete. Are we together? It is an essential. It is fundamental. So what are we saying in a nutshell? That your prosperity is what? Necessary to complete your redemption. Hello? Okay, you're looking at me strange. Praise the Lord. Your prosperity is not only part of your redemption. It is provided for in your redemption, and it is necessary to complete your redemption. Are we together? I hope I'm communicating. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That means as a child of God, without prosperity, your redemption cannot be said to be complete. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18, our brother who led us in prayer took us to that verse. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you what? The power to get wealth. And he gives a reason, that he might establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The New Living Translation says, in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. In order to what? Fulfill. So, prosperity is essential for what? The fulfillment of the covenant. Am I communicating? Both the old covenant and the new covenant. Because our text is taken from what? The new covenant. Praise the Lord. Prosperity is what? Essential. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So prosperity is a fulfillment of the covenant. Are we still together? Hallelujah. Now, coming back to our text, there are two things I want you to see. I want you to take note of. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty might become rich. So what are the two things? Our text begins with, for you know. Hello? For you know. The first three words, for you know. Then he goes to end with, might become rich. Are we together? Praise the Lord. That is to say that knowledge is essential to becoming rich. Are you with me? There are certain things you must know to be able to what? Appropriate your redemptive rights. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, this will help us. Now, the phrase might become. Let's look at what it means. Okay? Amen. That phrase might become expresses a possibility or probability, indicating something could potentially happen or develop into a certain state. I'm reading from the dictionary. Okay? So when you say something might become, it's what? A potential. It's what? A probability. Are we together? Praise the Lord. And that's why a lot of us, even though Jesus has paid the ultimate price for our prosperity, are not yet prosperous. Because he did not say that you should be rich or shall be rich. He said might become. Am I communicating? So for a whole lot of us, we are still at the probability or potential state. Why? We don't know. Am I communicating? Is it coming together? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, in this kingdom, knowledge is key. Amen. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and what? Come on, talk to me. You shall, and what? You shall, and what? Now, truth you don't know cannot set you free. Hello? Every revelation you have not contacted is only a potential. So Jesus said, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Amen. So, what am I driving at? If we are truly going to become who Jesus desires for us to become, we must understand what Jesus secured for us in his redemption. Am I communicating? If I am, say, I hear you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, truth can only make one free when you have a knowledge of it, when you understand it, and are able to act on it. The truth is, acting on something is based on understanding. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, the Bible says Jesus became poor that we might become rich, right? So what does it mean for Jesus to become poor? Because that is what we need to understand. That's where he paid the price. That's where our prosperity is secured in our redemption. Am I communicating? Come and see, I hear you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. How did Jesus become poor? For our sakes. Now, this will be very interesting. Amen. Say, Father, give me understanding. I'm not here. Say, Father, give me understanding. What if I tell you that Jesus, physically speaking, was never poor? Hello? See, there was a time I thought that he became poor by being born in a manger. No. He was born in a manger because there was no space in town. It's not poverty that drove him there. At birth, he was given gifts as a king. Hello? So at birth, he was not poor. You must understand exactly what Jesus did to be able to appropriate what Jesus got. You see, there are people who say, Jesus was poor. Why do pastors want to be rich? I think we'll settle some of that tonight. Today, sorry. Praise the Lord. So, number one, Jesus was never poor physically. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. His becoming poor was not a physical thing. Amen. It was not something that was accomplished in the flesh. Are we together? Glory to God. By earthly standards, Jesus was rich all through his life. Amen. Or at least all through his active life. Praise the Lord. I read somewhere, somebody said, the gifts that they gave to Jesus at birth must have been what they used to fund their trip to Egypt and be sustained in Egypt until Herod died. You think it's easy to jackpot? Hallelujah. But let's stay on course. Praise the Lord. So by all earthly standards, Jesus was not a poor man. I'm going somewhere. Amen. Now, as a matter of fact, Jesus distinguished himself from the poor. Hello? Ay, 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 ay. What did I say? He didn't count himself as poor. How do I know so? You want to know? Okay. Amen. In Matthew 26:11, when that woman, you know, came and worshipped him, took an alabaster box of precious ointment, the Bible tells us the value of that ointment was a year's wage. And they said to Jesus, why this waste? This money, this perfume could have been sold, hello, and the proceeds given to the poor. What did Jesus say? He said, cool down. The poor you always have among you, but me, you don't have. I'm not poor. That's what he was saying. You didn't put it up. Let them say it. Hello? So Jesus never called himself a poor man. Are we together? He said the poor, which means he was not poor. Praise the Lord. The Bible categorically states that Jesus was rich. Our text says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, hello? Though he was, praise the Lord. You know why I'm going through this? Because your mindset must change for God to be able to help you. Amen. He says you have to renew your mind so that God can transform you. So it begins here. Am I communicating? So the Bible says Jesus was rich. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Okay? Now, before that, the dictionary definition of poor is lacking money or resources, destitute of wealth, needy, indigent, wretched, dispossessed, inadequate, and weak. Was Jesus any of those things? Was Jesus any of those things? Did Jesus ever have a need he couldn't meet? Praise the Lord. So Jesus was rich. I'm talking of on earth. Of course, in heaven, we can't go there. Hallelujah. Now, Mark 6, verse 35 to 37, quickly. I'm still building up. Mark chapter 6, verse 35 to 37, quickly. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Verse 37. But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, help me finish it. And they, yes. He had the money to feed over 4,000 people. Hello? Were the disciples complaining? Oga, we have estimated the value of what we feed these people is 200 denarii. Can we take from the bag? Hello? Shall I sing first? Huh? So tell the person next to you, Jesus was not poor. He has never been poor. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, so you can't be poor. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A man who could conveniently feed 4,000 plus people, you can't call him poor. Talk to me. Praise the Lord. And without sweating now. So how did Jesus become poor? Amen. Because the Bible says it was in his becoming poor that we become rich. So we must understand that. That's why we needed to clear tradition. Amen. That those who think that Jesus walked a beggarly life, praise the Lord, but he did not. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus became poor the same way he became sin for us. Am I communicating? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Christ. So throughout his physical life, he was not poor. But he took on poverty as a consequence of sin, that he might be able to destroy poverty. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me try and break it down. The soul that sinneth shall... Jesus was born without sin, right? Right? Which means, even in his physical body, he could not have died. And that's why every time they tried to kill him, he escaped. Why? Because he has not sinned, he can't die. Hello? Now, to be able to die, the sins of all humanity was placed on him on the cross. So hear me, if the sins of mankind was not placed on Jesus on the cross, when he gets tired of hanging, he will come down because he can't die. Am I communicating? Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6, verse 8, and I think verse 9. Can we read that quickly? Or 8 to 10? Please put it up quickly. I hope I'm communicating. Isaiah 53, 6. Then we'll go to verse 8 after 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. Give me good news. Are you seeing that? Amen. Okay. He was arrested and sentenced and led off to die. And no one cared about his fate. He was put to death for the sins of our people. Yes, verse 9. Just maintain on good news quickly. He was placed in a grave with those who are evil. He was buried with the rich, even though he never, not even told a lie. Okay, so verse 10. The Lord says, it was my will that he should suffer. His death was a sacrifice to bring forgiveness. So he will see his descendants. He will live long, and through him my purpose will succeed. I think the New King James says he was made an offering for sin. Amen. So God put our sins on Jesus so that he could die. Under the old covenant, before an animal was slaughtered as propitiation or atonement for sin, the high priest will lay his hand on that animal and confess his sins and the sins of the land. Just before he does that, he literally, I don't know how it happens, but he now seems to absorb the sins of the people in his body. Then he transfers it to the animal. Then the animal is killed. Then now says, okay, judgment has been executed for the sins of the people. That's the same thing Jesus did. So he took our sins. Amen. God put our sins on him while he hung on the cross. Are we together? Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says that when he hung on the cross, there was darkness all over the earth. Why? Because when God put the sins on Jesus, he could no longer look at Jesus. Amen. That's why Jesus cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? Because for the first time in all eternity, God turned his back to Jesus. Because his eyes have a purer sort to behold iniquity. Are we together? So the sins of all humanity, past, present, and future, were placed on Jesus. Then he could die. Are we together? Now, also get this. One of the first consequences of sin was poverty. Cursed be the ground for your sake. Ton santisi shall he bear. After death, the next thing that sin brought was poverty. Are we together? Now, Because Jesus was sinless, he couldn't be poor. Hello? Because poverty is a consequence of sin. That's why throughout his life, he couldn't be poor. Am I communicating? So when the sins of all humanity were placed upon him, then poverty could not come on him. Is somebody getting it? Glory to God. Glory to God. So he became poor on the cross. For what purpose? So that poverty can be destroyed. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. So poverty was settled on Calvary's cross. Is someone with me? You're looking like I lost you. Hello? Please be found. Is it coming together? Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. So when they nailed Jesus to the cross, they nailed your poverty with him. They nailed my poverty with him. Amen. When he came down from the cross, poverty didn't come down with him. Oh God, who am I preaching to? Glory to God. Glory to God. May the Lord give you understanding. Remember I said, activation is by knowledge and understanding. Amen. You see, when you think that he was poor in life, it doesn't cut it. But when you understand how he dealt with it, are we together? So, Colossians 2 verse 14 and 15, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Child of God, poverty has been taken out of the way. Nailed to Christ's cross. Glory to God. Glory to God. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That in it is the cross. Amen. The cross. Glory to God. So his blood was what ransom does from poverty. Because it was his blood that paid for sin. Is someone with me? He went to the cross to shed his blood for what purpose? For the remission of our sins. Because without the shedding of blood, there cannot be remission of sins. So his blood paid for our sins and redeemed us from poverty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. The Amplified, in him we have redemption, that is our deliverance and salvation through his blood, which he paid the penalty for our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon of our sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. Amen. So it is his blood that broke poverty's power. Is someone with me? Amen. It is his blood. So Jesus dealt with poverty at the spirit level. Not in the natural. Because poverty is first spiritual before it's physical. That's why at times all the rules, you know, those things that you say, if a man works hard, if a man does this, he will prosper. There are many hard workers that are hard sufferers. Why? Poverty has to be dealt with in the spirit. Are we still together? Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Hebrews 9, verse 12. Glory to God. Aren't you glad for the blood? So when next you sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Add poverty to it. What has washed away my poverty? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me rich again. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Are we together? So Hebrews 9 verse 12, it says, not with the blood of bulls, goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained what? Having obtained what? Now, I need to break this down. I need to make it clear. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is one school of thought that says, on the basis of the scripture, that once saved is forever saved. Because they opine that what? Redemption is what? Eternal redemption. Praise the Lord. But the truth to that is that it does not agree with the totality of scripture. Please stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Because I need to clear that for you to understand the concept of that scripture. Praise the Lord. Any truth of the word that does not agree with the totality of the word cannot be accepted. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. So, Revelation 3 verse 5, media, you'll do me well to put it up quickly. Revelation 3 verse 5. Can we read together with a loud voice? Let the whole world hear us. I will not. Will Jesus say or promise not to blot out or erase a person's name if they're not the commander? Talk to me. But nobody's talking to me. Will he be saying that? Will it be a promise? That means that your name is written in the book of life. Does not mean it cannot be removed. And whoever's name is not found in the book of life shall have his place in the lake of fire, which is the second death. So please hear me, people that are born again. Hear the way I take to pronounce them. If they are not careful, will land in hell. Are you with me? Are we together? Scripture number 2. Matthew 24 verse 13. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's put in a context by going back one or two verses, okay? So can we do that quickly, media? Okay. He said, there are many false prophets will arise and deceive. Verse 12. And because of what? Because lawlessness were about the love of. Look at verse 13. But he who shall be. Amen. Because people seem to be getting away with sin. You say that this Jesus thing is not working. make I go take them easy, make I join them. He says, what will happen? You might miss it. Easy to reversion, verse 13, quickly. Are we communicating? Quickly, media, me. Don't waste my time. Okay. But he who... Come on, talk to me. There's final salvation. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39. Hebrews 10, 39. Can we read together? Want to go with a loud voice? So the Bible is quite clear that the doctrine of once saved, forever saved is not scriptural. Am I communicating? Are we together? Amen. I touched that because I made reference to that scripture. Are we together? So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What is the problem here? The problem is that that scripture has been taken out of its context. When that scripture is placed in its context, it gives a different meaning and we are able to understand what the Bible is saying. Praise the Lord. So, what is the Bible saying? The Bible is telling us that under the old covenant, the sacrifices of the high priest were repeated year after year. Why? Because of the inadequacy of the blood of bulls and goats to satisfy the demands of sin. That the blood of bulls and goats cannot purge the conscience of sin. Praise the Lord. So every year they had to be repeated. The blood of an animal could only cover it to a point. Are we together? Praise the Lord. But he now says, at the end of times, Jesus now comes on the scenes to offer a perfect sacrifice that did not need to be repeated. He went once for all into the most holy place. With his blood, he offered an eternal sacrifice for redemption. The context of the eternal redemption here is a one for all time sacrifice. I hope I'm communicating. So Jesus did not need to be repeating, you know, if not, he would have kept dying. If you go and read the scripture, it tells us. If not, he would have been dying over and over and again. So he offered one sacrifice for all eternity. One sacrifice was sufficient to do the job. One sacrifice was enough to complete our redemption. Let's look at the Amplified and the Amplified Classic Edition very quickly. So Amplified says, he went once for all into the holy place, the holy of holies of heaven, into the presence of God, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, having obtained and secured eternal redemption. That is the salvation of all who personally believe in him as Savior. Amen. So 100, 1,000 years to come, anybody who believes him, that sacrifice is sufficient. Are we together? Is he understood? Praise the Lord. The Amplified, the Classic Edition, the latter part says, having found and secured a complete redemption. That's what I want to bring to our knowledge. A complete redemption. That means through the price that Jesus paid by his blood, Everything that needed to be redeemed in our lives was redeemed. I hope I'm communicating. Come and say, I hear you. So our redemption is complete. It's a total package. Amen. It's what? A total package. You can't be redeemed from sin and not be redeemed from the curse. You can't be redeemed from the curse and not be redeemed from poverty. Your redemption includes being redeemed from failure, from stagnation, from rising and crashing. Everything that you had to be redeemed for, the price was paid once and forever through the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So on Calvary's cross, as Jesus hung and breathed his last, he cried out and said, "It is finished." In the Greek, tetelestai, which means paid in full. Paid in full. Glory to God. He has paid for it all. Did you hear me? He has paid for it all. He paid for full package. Hello? He didn't pay half bouquet. Oh God. He paid for the full package. Glory to God. So you can subscribe for absolutely everything. Amen. You know, those of you who use DSTV, you know they are different. Now they are brought in what I call poverty bouquet. Amen. 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 You understand what I'm saying now? They brought the one that they can give like three channels. When Jesus was paying, he paid for every available channel. Am I talking to somebody? He paid it all. He paid in full. Glory to God. Is that understood so far? Is that understood so far? So, the price for your redemption from poverty is what? The blood. Okay? Now, let's take it a bit further. This way it gets a bit tricky. In Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 7, the temptation of Jesus. Quickly, can I have it? Luke 4, 5 to 7. I can see their faces very well. Please, somebody for me, Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. New King James, Son of Man. And I will worship you forever. Okay. So it says, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all, I tell you with me, all I will, and for it has been, and I, verse 7, therefore, praise the Lord. So let's look at that statement, okay? Let's look at what the devil said. Amen. All this authority. What authority? Everything in the world. All the glory of it, the riches of it. You see, it has been given to me. And it is my prerogative to give to whoever I wish. Now, question number one. Why didn't Jesus tell him, you they talk lie? It's not true. Did Jesus refute? Did Jesus challenge? Why? Because it is true. Did God give it to the devil? No. God gave it to who? Adam. Adam committed high treason and handed it over to the devil. So you wonder, for example, why unbelievers seem to prosper more than Christians. He says, I give it to who I like. So you see, you need to now understand why at times it is difficult for you as a Christian to prosper. Because the one who is in charge is not your friend. He doesn't like you. He's willing to use it to frustrate you. Hello? Secondly, if what the devil was saying is not true, it will not have been a temptation. Hello? It wouldn't have been a temptation. Jesus just looked at him, oh boy, are you serious? It was a temptation because it is true. Hello? Hello? Are we together? So, he says, I will give it to you. But there is one condition. So when we talk about it, we should look at it in the right perspective. What's the condition? Worship me. That's why men get into the occult to become rich. Are we together? And that's why when you as a believer desire to be rich, you compromise. Your commitment to Christ begins to suffer. Now, you say, but I'm not serving the devil. No, watch it. Some time ago, the Lord told me something. He taught me something. And he called it the duality principle. Okay? Or the name he gave me was the duality principle. And this is it simply. There are only two sides in this world. Black and white. There is no gray. You're either with me or you're against me. If you are not for God, you are against God. There is no midpoint. Are we together? If it is not given to God, it is automatically given to the devil. Now, Lucifer was the angel of worship. Are we together? He was the head of worship. Now, his assignment was to funnel, to channel the worship of all creation to the Almighty God. He tasted a bit of it and wanted it for himself. So he said, I will overthrow God. But he didn't succeed. So what did the devil now plan to do? If I can divert it, it won't go to him. And automatically will come to me. Are we together? Yes, if you don't give it to God, you have given it to the devil, whether you want to accept it or not. So Jesus said, if you are not with me, you are against me. I wish you either hot or cold. Because you are in the middle, I will throw you out. So everything in this world, if it's not going to God, is going to the devil. Do we get that? Amen. So when you are, you see, the devil is so tricky. So you worship an idol. You say it's not the devil. No. You're not worshiping God. So by default, you are worshiping Satan. You worship your phone. You worship a celebrity. By default, you are worshiping who? The devil. Are we understood? Amen. you need to get it. So Jesus said, you cannot serve God and... So he uses money to divert worship. Okay? So he says, I will give you the money on one condition. You will worship me. Now, what is the consequence of worshiping the devil? You do that at the expense of your soul. True of us? Amen. it will cost you your soul. So those people that go and do blood money, they don't know that what they sold is their soul. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and suffers the loss of his soul? He said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So Satan does not bargain without an exchange. Am I communicating? And his number one desire is the soul, because the soul is the most valuable currency. Hello? Are we together? Jesus said the whole world is not equated to one soul. Are you with me so far? Okay, quickly give me Psalm 49, verse 6 to 9. I'm trying to land at somewhere. Amen. I pray I will land without... my time is up. Quickly. Media. Say, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give God a ransom for him. Yes. For the redemption of their souls is what? And it shall cease forever. Okay, verse 9. That it should continue to live eternally. Praise the Lord. Now, if you look at in this text, money and the soul are put on the same pedestal. Talk to me. And the Bible tells us the soul is more expensive than money. So when Satan will give you all the money in the world, he has something more expensive. Is it, I tell people, you say, yeah, you have a, you know, those men who sleep with young ladies, they buy them Range Rover, Lamborghini, they put them in expensive flats and all those things. And those ladies think that, you think it's sex they are paying for. There's cheaper sex. They can get sex for 5,000. Even 2,000, 2,500. There's even 500 naira own. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm serious. When we were getting married and we were making some powerful demands, that time said, we have not seen lists. We first came, we first dropped some money. Then the next came and said that we have not dropped money. My mother now did me like this. You see, this money is too much. Are they selling her? He said, come home. You can marry for 200 naira. I hope she's not watching. Amen. Say 200 naira. Get. So there's 200 naira. Now, what are they paying for? The soul. Because if they have the soul, they can command the whole world. Is someone with me? The soul. So every exchange with the devil, what he wants is the soul. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The soul. Money can't buy the soul. Amen. Okay, I want to round up. Glory to God. Are we together thus far? So, what is the currency of the soul? Glory to God in the highest. Leviticus 17, verse 11, quickly. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for what? For it is the blood that makes atonement for what? So the only thing that can pay for a soul is blood. Blood means something has died. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we together? It's blood. Blood also is the currency of the spirit realm. That's why most things people want to do in the occult, they will demand a blood sacrifice. Why? Because blood is what? The currency of the spirit realm. It is the true price of money. Hello? Hello? Are we together? Glory to God. It is the only acceptable tender, legal tender, in the realm of spirit, of the spirit, that can command the possession of wealth. Are we together? And that's the principle those who do blood money ride upon. So Satan does not release what is in his hand without blood. Am I communicating? You say, but there are people who work hard. They have not shed any blood. Why are they getting money? That's a principle. But apart from that, let me show you something. So you work for a company 35 years, right? And they said, okay, after 35 years, they are retiring you. They give you a gratuity. They pay you pension. Maybe give you a gold watch. What did you are paying for? They are paying you for your life they have used up. They acknowledge that they have used your most active years. And what is left cannot really profit you. So let's just take care of you. So you are being paid for your life. Life is measured by time. You go to work 8 in the morning. You close at 5. What do you think you are spending? Life. Life is measured by what? Blood. That's why when you waste time, you waste life. Praise the Lord. So it is the only thing that can suffice as payment for the soul, and the only thing that can suffice as legal tender for the possession of wealth. Amen. So, no, let me still hold it. So every money is actually blood money. Is someone with me? Every money is actually blood money, because blood is going into it. But now, the quality of the blood, the volume of the blood, now determines the release. Are we together? Now, remember we said Satan, unfortunately, is the legal custodian to wealth on earth. And only blood makes him release it. Okay? So let me try and tie it up here, because if I keep going, blood will make him release what he will not release. True or false? So now, under the old covenant, in Psalm 105 verse 37, the Bible says God brought out the children of Israel with what? Silver and gold. And there was none feeble among their ranks. True or false? Now, these same children of Israel were slaves for many years. We know they were in the land of Egypt for about 400 years. It's not exactly told us when their slavery began, but we know that at least after about 2 generations of their being there, they were slaves. So nothing less than 200 plus years, they were slaves. A slave has nothing. Hello? They were slaves. They were in penury. They were in poverty. The cruel taskmaster that kept them in bondage will not even release them. Praise the Lord. So how did God force this wicked oppressor not only to let them go, but to put money in their hands? He did it by blood. How having done everything, nothing worked, what did he do? He asked the children of Israel to take a lamb, a spotless lamb, quality, to prove that the lamb is indeed spotless. It must be kept for 3 days and observed critically. When it passes the test, the lamb should be killed, his blood applied to the lintel and the doorpost of the houses, and they were not permitted to come out from under the blood, because that night God was going to pass through the land of Egypt and judge both the Egyptians and their gods. It was a night of spiritual warfare. And God said to them, come out from under this cover of the blood, you will die like them. But if you stay under the cover of the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Why? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the blood that makes atonement and provides redemption redeemed the Israelite from the judgment that they were guilty of. So it was a type of salvation. Amen. Are we together? That night they were also to eat of the flesh of the lamb, which is a type of Christ. Jesus said, if you don't eat my bread, my body, and drink my blood, you are not part of me. Now, as they ate and drank, God executed judgment on the land. Now, Moses told them, as you are going, because the tide has changed, because the person who held you in oppression and will not pay you for your services, because the blood has done its job, he said, before you go to each and every one of them, ask whatever you want, and they will give it to you, because the Lord shall give you favor in the sight of the Egyptians. So blood commands favor. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we together? So after the blood was shed, they went. The same people that treated them badly, their disposition changed. They gave them whatever they desired. And the Bible says they left Israel, they left Egypt with so much wealth, with silver and gold. That was the blood of a lamb. That was a sacrificial system that needed to be renewed. In short, at that point, it had not even gotten to that point, because the sacrificial system progressed from what? A lamb for a household to a lamb for a nation. So by the time of the high priest, it was a lamb for a nation. But before then, it was a lamb for a household. So I like you to think about it. If the blood of a lamb that you cannot receive blood transfusion from when you are sick can make a nation so wealthy, how much more the eternal blood of Jesus? Is someone with me? So let's look at blood money. So those who have dabbled into the occult will tell you that depending on the magnitude of what you desire to be done is what determines the kind of sacrifice. So there's a sacrifice that will say, bring a goat, bring a tortoise. There's a sacrifice that will say, bring a human being. There's one that will say, if it's going to work, it must be a virgin. At this point, they are seeking what? Purity. Hello? Hello? And it works for them. The Bible says there was a particular time the children of Israel were at war. There was a prophecy that the man of God, Elisha, gave. That prophecy was overturned. How? The king of Edom, when he saw the battle was against him, he took his first son and offered him as a sacrifice. Why? Blood is the currency of the spirit realm. At the prophecy of the great man of God, Elisha, was reversed. Hello. Now, if the blood of bulls, the blood of sinful men, can work such wonders, how much more the precious blood of Jesus? So you know that all money is blood money, and blood money pass blood money. So which means you have a bigger blood money. Because of the blood you have access to. Am I communicating? Are we together? So that night, they ate a covenant meal. They ate a special meal. They called it the Passover. That Passover became the foundation of what we call the communion. Amen. And Jesus says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you recall what? The Lord's death till he comes. One translation says, you are saying that Jesus died for you. So when you take the communion, it's like somebody under that covenant personally taking the blood of his own lamb, applying it to the doorposts and the lintels. How many of you understood what I just tried to share to you? Amen. Amen. He became poor that you, through his poverty, will become rich. Not as an example of poverty. You see, it was for our sakes he became poor. That you, through his poverty. So if he never planned to bring you out of poverty, he would not have touched poverty. It's not sweet. He touched it because he wanted you out of it. As we partake of this communion this morning, amen, I pray that you leverage on what Christ has done. That you tap into the resources of his blood and claim your freedom. So whether it's demonic poverty, whether it's a curse, whether it's a covenant, the blood paid for it all. Whether it's generational, the blood paid for it all. He paid for it all. It's a complete redemption. Come on, rise to your feet. Somebody say, thank you for the blood. If you really understood it, say, thank you for the blood. Come on, say it like you mean it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power.
There is power mighty in the blood.
There is power.
There is power mighty in the blood.
In the blood.
There is power mighty in the blood.
Jesus. Now, do you understand it? Do you understand it? It means that because of the blood, nothing can hold you back from prospering. Am I talking? Because of the blood, there is no limits to the extent of your prosperity and progress. Because of the blood, hear me, child of God, even though you have been born into generations of poverty, because you've come under the banner of the blood, you have escaped. Because of the blood. Why? Because you see, the price has been paid. The fulfillment on God's side, the requirement on God's side, and the devil's side has been met. The righteous demands of the law have been met. And then the ransom from the kidnapper has been paid. So what will stop you? What will hinder you? Because of the blood, your efforts are now commanded to deliver results. That's why you just have to know it. And knowing it, you have to act on it. You have to be deliberate. So the next time failure looks you in the face, you need to tell that devil, it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. The blood has been shed. The price has been paid. That generational limitation is over. I say it's over. I say it's over. That generational curse of poverty is broken. It's broken. Why? Your poverty has been nailed to Christ's cross. Amen. It has been nailed to Christ's cross. It was dealt with on the cross. Now listen to what the scripture says. If he did not withhold his son, his only begotten son, but gave him up freely. Freely. How will he, not through that son, give us all things? All things. So if he has given you Jesus, if he has saved your soul, then prosperity is too small. Healing is too small. Favor is too small. Hallelujah. Are we together? So the next time you say the blood of Jesus, know what you are saying. Know what you are saying. Amen. Because you must know the truth for it to set you free. You must know it. You must understand it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm redeemed. I am redeemed from failure. I'm redeemed from stagnation. I'm redeemed from poverty. By the blood. By the blood. It's been paid for. Can we have our communion tokens out? The blood
of Jesus. Oh, the Lord,
tokens, can you please signify? Is anybody who has not received? If you have not received, please signify so that you can be reached, because we'll be taken together. Amen. Is somebody fired up like I'm fired up? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why you don't joke with being a Christian. Have we all received? If you are watching us online, please make sure you get what you can use. Get some bread with you. Get some currant. You can even use Coke. You can use Fanta. Anything that represents it. Praise the Lord. Paul said, I present to you that which I received from the Lord. That on the same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. Having given thanks, he blessed it. He broke it and gave to his disciples, saying, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Hallelujah. Please, before you eat, may I say that if you're not born again, you are just eating emblems. Under the old covenant, a man who was not part of the covenant was not permitted. And if he were to be permitted, he must be accepted as a Jew. Those outside the covering of the blood did not eat, only those who were within the blood cover. If you are not under the covering of salvation, you are just eating unleavened bread and drinking currant. But if you are under the covenant, then what you carry in your hands is a bomb. Hallelujah. So you're not born again. I want to give your heart to Jesus. Just lift up your right hand so I can pray with you right away. You want to give your heart to Jesus. You're not born again. You want to make Jesus the Lord of your life so I can pray with you before we eat. Is anyone like that? Okay. He broke the bread. Having given thanks, he gave to his disciples, saying, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Say with me, Christ's body was broken so that mine may not be broken. The Bible says, say with me, the Bible says, we are one bread and one body with Christ. So from today, as I eat this bread, whatever could not find space and a place in Christ's body ceases to have space and a place in mine. I receive this bread in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You may eat. You've eaten, you can open the second part of it. Now it is the blood. It's all in the blood. And Jesus said the way we appropriate the blood is by drinking of this cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. So if it is in the blood, it is in the cup. Did you hear me? If it is in the blood, it is where? In the cup. So can you say with me, I believe with all my heart that this cup which I now hold is the token of the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. The covenant is fulfilled by the expression of prosperity. As I drink of this cup, I appropriate every benefit of the blood. Everything the blood of Jesus secures on our behalf in the name of Jesus. By this cup, I receive my total and unquestionable deliverance and redemption from every power of darkness. I receive this cup in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You may drink.
The blood of Jesus sets me free from sin and sorrows. The blood of Jesus sets me free. The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus sets me free
from sin and sorrows.
The
blood of Jesus.
Just lift up your voice this morning and thank him for the blood. It's the blood of a new covenant. So can you thank him for what this new covenant is bringing into your life, into your finances, into your business, into your marriage, into your academics? Can you just bless his holy name this morning? Thank him for the blood. 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 You can begin to declare what you want to see the blood do for you. Can you just begin to speak what you want the blood to do for you this morning? He says he speaks better things than the blood of Abel. So can you open your mouth and begin to speak that which you want the blood to do for you this morning? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. We have declared, as you have spoken, so the blood do for you this day in the mighty name of Jesus. Can we just lift up our voice and say thank you for your Son through whom you ministered to us this morning. Let his heavens be continually open. Let your door entrance never be shut unto him, O God. Keep him fresh. in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, in Jesus' mighty name. And the church says, please, let's have our seats in God's presence. If you paid your tithe to the bank during the course of the week, or you have it to do so right here, right now, please quickly join me in front. Hallelujah. You paid your tithe into the bank.